I am Jenny Caligiuri. It sounds like the jury, J-U-R-Y, instead of the Italian spelling that I have. I am running for the 2nd Congressional District for the U.S. House in Iowa. I was born and raised in Texas, if I sound a little bit different, but I've lived in Iowa for 25 years. I have a background in banking. I was vice president of a bank in Texas and in Arizona. I was vice president over all the operations of the bank. Then I had a retail business in Iowa, a retail store, and then also a design business. And most recently, I was the state director of the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation in Iowa and several other prayer organizations. But it was to write legislation to protect our religious liberties and then to lead prayer with the legislators.
What made you decide that you wanted to run for Congress? What made you decide that this is something that is for me?
That's a good question. I had never thought about running for Congress. I've been involved on the prayer side of everything, but my heart has always been to bring our nation back to its Judeo-Christian foundations. And so that is a big interest of mine and a big concern of mine, the direction that our nation has gone. And now it looks like we have a window here or a doorway that we can work to get our nation turned back to its biblical foundations, which is what our forefathers, our founding fathers, wanted when we started this nation. So that is my desire.
What do you mean by a window? What do you see that says this is the time?
President Trump is a man that has stood by his word. He is one that is for traditional marriage, for pro-life. He's got many things that I line up with. And I see him as coming in and cleaning out the swamp that we have. I know that's been the big buzzword, but I do believe we have a swamp on both sides of the aisle, not just the Democrat side or the Republican side, but both sides. So I would like to go and help him get that turned around in our nation.
Do you have any concerns given we constantly hear about extramarital affairs and him being married several times? Does any of that concern you as being kind of, okay, I want him to be able to do this, but then I hear about this all the time?
You know, I have ethics, strong morals, but I've made mistakes in my life also. And I know, from what I understand, he's a baby Christian, and we don't get all turned around in one moment of time. So I think we've got to have some grace. I'm not saying excusing things that were done, but when we repent and we turn from our ways, which he seems to have done, we're looking at things that he did in the past, not recent things, then I am for forgiveness and moving forward. Like I said, I've had things that I've done in my past. I think we all have. None of us are perfect. So we need some grace for one another in this transition period.
Kind of moving back a little bit, you're running for the office, but you're not going to be on the ballot. You're running as a write-in. Can you kind of explain how we reached this point? And has that changed the process for you when it comes to running for Congress?
Sure. It has changed a little bit. And this is not the route that I had planned to take. I had approximately 500 more signatures than I needed to get on the ballot. But I was challenged in Washington County. And I had a few duplicate signatures, but I also had some people that had signed that actually lived in the district. They lived in Henry and Johnson County, but they signed on the wrong county sheet. But I had 13 counties, and we needed 12, so I wasn't too concerned until I found out after the deadline that I had Monroe County, where I had two sheets that I had not colored in the Republican box. So they threw out those signatures, which then took that county off and then left me without enough counties to qualify. So I had 500 more signatures. So I had such a great, I had so many people calling to see if I would consider doing a write-in campaign. And I really feel like I'm supposed to run. So I said yes, and so here we are running with a write-in campaign.
Do you have to change the approach because you have to get people to take that extra step of actually, does that change how you approach people and how you talk to people about this?
Yes, I still, tell them all my concerns, where I stand on my platform, what I'm standing for, and then I have another portion that I have to share on how to do it. And we are going to be getting clarification. We have a meeting with the Secretary of State to get clarification on the spellings, because our state allows You don't have to be literate to vote in an election. So if you're not literate, then that means you can't really spell. So we are going to get clarification. But right now we have business cards that have my name on it and show that you have to color in the bubble and you will have to write my name in so it has the correct spelling. So we're just like, write the name with correct spelling. Let's just don't even worry about it. But people that might not have heard or just are going by my name and don't have a card, then that's what we're going to be getting clarification on. But it is a different route in how you go about it, because you've got to explain to people about coloring the dot. And what's interesting is I missed the two Republican boxes to color in, and now I'm getting to tell people over and over, I need you to color in the bubble and write my name in on the Republican ticket. They will have to request a Republican ballot.
When it comes to yourself as a candidate, what are the qualities, those characteristics that you feel you would bring to the office?
Well, truth. I think we're lacking a lot of truth and integrity in the offices now. And that is something I have a biblical foundation that I'm going to be assessing everything I vote on. It's going to go through my biblical filter, I guess you would say. And that's how I'm going to answer things. But the other thing I'm doing too is going across the state into all 24 counties doing a listening tour. So it's not just about the things. I mean, there are certain things that I'm not going to change from. But then the rest, I want to be able to talk to the people in the district. I want to know what is important to them. And that's what I've been doing, hearing their stories, what's of concern to them, and what is the most important thing to them. And then researching that if I need to. I don't have answers for everything yet. So I try to get back to them if they have a specific question.
You kind of touched on it. I mean, the need for truth, the culture, I guess you could even say, in Washington, it's so bipartisan, or it's so partisan, and it's so negative at times. How do we change that?
That's a good question, too. But what I've been telling people is we need to be able to vet people, like on the Constitution, for one thing. I don't believe we're following the Constitution. I'm not an expert right now, but I am taking a class through Hillsdale College. So I think vetting the people and just what are their morals? What are their values? What do they stand for? I think getting to know the person. I know I've had a lot of people say that there are candidates that just tell them what they want to hear. Then they go to Washington, D.C., and they do the exact opposite. My answer to that is I'm older. I don't have time to I'm not smart enough to come up with two different kinds of answers. So what you see is what you get. This is who I am. This is where my answers are going to be based on, where my decisions are going to be made. And I want to communicate back to the second district. If I have told them one thing and I get more information and I'm changing my mind, I want them to know why. What were the specific things, the information I was giving that would help me change my mind, and why that is, so that they can evaluate in the same information that I'm getting.
We'll get into a few of the specific issues and get your takes on those. But in a general sense, what are maybe those two or three things that right early on, if you're elected, that you really want to focus on? What are maybe those two or three top issues for you?
Okay. Well, I can tell you the first question I get asked in the district is where I stand on life. And I know that's a big issue. And I know our governor just signed the heartbeat bill here, which I've been praying with our legislators for the last 5 years for something like this to pass. I believe at life at conception, and that is something that I'm not going to change on. That's one of the values that I will not change. So if you're not pro-life and life at pro-life, then I'm probably not your candidate. But that's one thing. I am pro-Second Amendment. I want to make sure that we don't add any new legislation for gun control. I believe that we have a breakdown in the family and we have a mental illness problem in this nation. Another one would be our veterans. I am, and our president is working on these things, and so I would just come alongside him. But I My husband has Boyd Harness Company over in Clark County in Osceola, and we have a big farm through the company, and so we have been bringing in freedom hunters for the last couple of years, which is kind of like wounded warriors. Mm-hmm. So I've got to visit with a lot of them, and they are not getting the care that they need, and especially in a timely manner, or the quality of care they need. I think our veterans should be first in line, and at least they should be able to choose their doctors and not have to wait in line. So I know I don't know all the specifics, but that is a big concern of mine also.
And that's what I was going to say. When it comes to veterans care, it sounds like you would support the efforts to, instead of having to go to the VA hospital, you can go to your local hospital. It sounds like that is where you stand on that.
That is correct. I would like to see them get the best of care in a timely manner, if that's what it takes. I've been talking to lots of veterans as I've been on this tour, so I've heard some that have had great help, like in Des Moines or Iowa City, and then I've heard others that have not, you know, as far as the local area goes. So I think there should be a choice. I think I talked to a gentleman night before last that works for the VA hospital in Iowa City and is talking about the good things that are being done, and that, you know, connected with a college hospital per se, or the university hospital, they are able to use those doctors. But I was over there with someone, and a lot of times it's the interns and they have to wait longer. So I just think we need to step it up. If the VA hospital is good, great. And maybe we just need to enhance that and help in that area. But we need them to be able to go to the doctors of their choice and be able to get as good a care as we get, if not better.
You brought up gun control as another issue. And you said, I mean, when you say that's if when it comes to, there's some that say certain types of guns should be banned, or certain attachments or certain add-ons should be banned. And that's a no-go for you, it sounds.
That's correct. I don't believe it's not the gun. And I think President Trump just said something about the cars and the vehicles. Are we going to start taking those away too, because people are driving them and they're killing a lot of people with the vehicles that they are taking it for, specifically to kill people. But I don't believe we need any more gun legislation. I think we need to follow the background checks. Right now, we're not doing that in all the areas. The school shootings, a lot of that could have been prevented if it had been followed through with the background checks. Mental illness, a lot of the people that have shot in the schools have had been turned in, or I guess they've been warned. The local authorities have been warned that they had mental issues. And then they're just left out on the street and there's no follow-up. I know it seems maybe impossible to some that there are so many background checks and so many people that they have to follow through on, and there's false calls and all that type of thing. But I believe we do have to get better and check. We're going to have to hire more people, whatever it needs to take to check, follow through on this mental illness issue. I still think, though, it's a lot of it is the breakdown in the family. Our families are split, and we don't have mothers and fathers in the home. We are not teaching values in schools. We're not teaching values at home anymore like we used to. So I believe it's not just one thing, but it's not the gun that is shooting someone. And the right to bear arms is from our foundations. And that should not be taken away from us. That is a privilege that we have through our Constitution.
When it comes to the mental illness side, should the federal government be putting more funding and more resources? I mean, many times it's falling on the states, and then the states aren't doing it, and it's falling on local governments to try to deal with it. Should the federal government then be more involved, be putting more resources in to help communities identify people and help provide the services that maybe local and states can't afford?
I'm not for more regulation and those types of things, but I do think this is a nationwide issue, and I know our governor is addressing some of these issues right now in our own state. She's not waiting on the federal government, but what you're saying is true. We have states that maybe can't afford it, or local areas. I mean, I know they have closed down in the past some mental facilities here, at the time when we need them most. So I do believe if it takes some federal help, I'm not saying that the federal government should oversee it and do everything, but there might be, I need more facts to make a good decision. But right now, I would say if the federal government needs to set aside some funds, this is affecting everybody in our nation, then we need to learn how to work together in the state, the local, state, and federal, work together to solve this problem.
We'll kind of get into some of the issues that I've got jotted down on my notes here as we move ahead. Immigration is a topic that constantly comes up. President Trump has called for the building of a wall, additional security at the border. When it comes to, do you feel that immigration, are we weak on immigration? And if so, what do you see for the needs when it comes to immigration?
I do think we are weak on immigration. I am for the wall. I do, and it might take on different, it might look different in different areas, but a nation without borders is not a nation. So I am for not having freely cross our borders. Where he has had a travel ban from other nations coming in, I am for that. And we have had lower judges that have put a halt on that. And I do think we have to stop chain migration. It's not just a wall. That's another topic. There are many things involved in this, not just one area that needs to be done. But chain migration, I am for the quality of people that we bring in. When our nation was founded, everybody didn't just get to come in. They had to show that they could produce and give back to the nation. So I am for stopping chain migration. I am for the travel bans when we need to put it on to stop that till we get a handle on it. I'm not saying permanent, but we need to get a handle on our own laws and stop that chain migration from coming in.
Another issue that's getting a lot of talk and discussion is the possible meeting of President Trump with the leader of North Korea. Do you support that meeting? Do you think the president should be taking that meeting with Kim Jong-un?
I do. I don't know that I'm going to trust him totally. But, you know, it says in the Bible that God can change things in a day. And so I think we do need to explore this. I do think he needs a chance to meet with him and have discernment and see what he believes in and what he doesn't believe. I think we need to watch what he does, Kim Jong-un. We need to watch every move that he makes. But I see this happening in a lot of nations. Things are changing. And he had the meeting with South Korea, and there's so much talk of them becoming one and lifting those borders and families reuniting. And we will have to see where this progresses. But I do think that he should be meeting with him. Most definitely.
What do you think of, it's another, I mean, kind of running through some of these issues we see every day, we read about every day, the Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller looking into the election and the Trump campaign and every day it seems there's something new regarding this that comes out. What do you think of the fact that there is still the Special Prosecutor working? Should the Special Prosecutor still be doing this?
No, I do not think so. I think he's gone way out of bounds. I think he's gone way beyond what the initial investigation was, Russia, and now we're into a different topic nearly every day, it seems like. I think it needs to end. I do agree we're on a witch hunt. It's continually trying to find something. It's like they're looking for a needle in a haystack, just something that they can get their teeth in, no matter what the topic might be, to turn against Trump and give more ammunition for him to be impeached or whatever the other party is wanting. So I do not see him as I do not believe that he is on target any longer.
Would you like to see President Trump, in essence, fire him and bring this to an end?
I would be fine with him firing him and moving on.
Kind of at the same time, they're looking into Russia. Are you worried that Russia will continue to try to meddle in elections and try to influence elections? Does that concern you?
I believe Russia is going to always be involved in our elections and trying to change the outcome. not even just elections, any way that they can get into our nation to make changes and to infiltrate. I believe that's going to be ongoing. I don't think anything is going to stop that necessarily. I think we can have intel and we can watch them and be more observant, and there's probably more that we can do to stay on top of what they're doing. But I don't think this is an issue that's going to go away. And I think it's with other nations, too. I don't think it's just with Russia. China, I mean, we've had issues with China also, with our computer technology. So it's not, this is the day and age we're in. I'm not saying it's right, but I don't think there's going to be an end to it. I do think that we need to stay on top of it, and we do not need to try and curtail it and stop it as much as we can. But the infiltration, is going to be there.
Does that start with Facebook? Obviously, Congress has held a number of hearings, possibly going to set in some regulations regarding Facebook. Do you think Congress should be involved in that? Should Congress be regulating Facebook, other social media platforms, and setting these rules regarding how information is shared and used, and what can be on these sites?
The Facebook, I'm not for more regulation at all. I think we need to deregulate a lot of things. I realize that Facebook has gotten out of hand with what is going on here lately in the hearings that we've had and the things that they have allowed. I think there is going to have to be some curtailing. I don't know what the regulations, how deep they go or what they look like. To say to make new regulations is going kind of far to me until I know more information on what that would look like. I just hate to keep making, it just seems like every time you turn around, we're making new regulations for so many topics, and where is it going to end? And so we've got to have some type of laws that they need to follow. But I think too many regulations is not necessarily the route to go.
Looking at an issue that affects every single American, the economy, jobs, how as a member of Congress would you work to create jobs, bring jobs to the 2nd District, to Southeast Iowa? What are some maybe plans or opportunities that you see to help with job growth?
Well, one of the things here is like 93% of the farms are still family-owned, and I have been talking to a lot of farmers and just business owners and everything, but a lot of the younger generations are moving away because there is a lack of jobs. There is a company in Des Moines that has started, and I know our governor is talking to them now, but I had met them a couple of years ago. But they have a business that's computer technology, and I'm just going to tell you about the concept. And so they buy an old building, they restore it, and then what they're wanting to do is connect with the colleges and the high schools where the kids are taking computer classes, junior high school. Then when they get out of high school, and during high school, they're taking the college credited classes for computer technology. Then when they get out, they're hired on for a year boot camp, and they start a salary around $60,000 with no college debt. I think that concept can be taken into many different areas, not just computer technology. I know this company's wanting to do like 23 in the rural areas in Iowa, and they're looking at the 2nd District, and I would like to team with them, and I would like to see that happen. I think we've got to be very innovative in our district and in our state, not just in the district. But there are a lot of people that are smart, innovative, have great entrepreneurial ideas, and I think we need to help them develop those and get those types of things into the area where it's going to draw people and keep the family, keep the younger generations in our district. So that's just a concept that I see that I think as a model could work across the 2nd District.
Do you think that the current public school systems and such are properly preparing students to be able to do that?
I think in some areas, yes. In some places, they are. And I think that's a whole educational thing, too, for them, is to team up the colleges with the local schools and present this concept so that they're working together and they are offering the courses for whatever that concept might be. Trade schools, you know, more that kind of a concept even could be done where they're learning the skills. I know they had shop classes when I was, that's a long time ago, when I was growing up, and they learned different trades. I don't think we have that as much now, and there is a real need for artisans, for the trades, you know, for building, for welding, for different things that we have a hole in the market. Vermeer, for instance, has their own trade school. I went over and toured their operation, and they have their own trade school because they couldn't find qualified people to work at Vermeer, so they are training them up to move into the positions they have. I think that's another concept. That's the same type of thing. If we can develop that across our southern district here and across the state, not just here, that is going to keep more of our youth here, it's going to keep more people employed and living in the area that they love to live in. That's one of the things. Just in the last few days, I've talked to some small business owners. They might have a small business in a small community and then a larger business in a larger community. They say the ones like in Iowa City or the larger places are doing well, but not necessarily where they are. So we need that stimulus there in the smaller communities because a lot of people want to live in that rural area and they can't because the jobs are not there. So I think we've got to put our heads together and come up with more innovative ideas.
A final kind of budget numbers. I mean, we're talking jobs, we're talking economy. The deficit just continues to grow. How, if you were in Congress, what is the idea to start trying to change that, to start to where we reverse that trend? How do we start doing that?
Well, I know it looks overwhelming, so you've got to take little bites, and we've got to start somewhere. I usually give an example. When we lived in Iowa Falls, there was a company that, from my banking background, called me in because they felt like they had a lot of duplication. So I went in, sat down at every desk, and there was a lot of duplication. So I streamlined everything and did a lot of cutaway of waste. I think this is what needs to be done in every department in D.C., that we put people that are over the heads of the department and that they start immediately going through. And I know they're massive. I know I'm talking a small scale versus a huge scale, but that can be done on a larger scale. It's the same concept. When I was in banking, I went out and everyone in the bank was buying supplies for their own self because the supply store was across the street. I shut that down because you buy in volume. Same type of thing here. I think we have to go department by department. It can be done simultaneously, and we need to begin to go into each department and see where the waste is, cut down. And people go, well, then you lose jobs. Well, no, a lot of these need to come back to the state and local level anyway, and it doesn't all need to be in D.C. So as we deregulate and bring things back to the state level, which is what was the intention was in the beginning of our founding, was it would be state and locally run, not some, our federal government's like a country in itself right now. So I think going in and analyzing every department, and yes, that's work, but when you get yourself in the position we are in now, it's going to take work to get out. And so I believe we need people in all levels, not just at the federal level, although that's where I want to go, but all the way down to school boards. I mean, we need people with values and integrity. They're going to run for positions in all levels that will do this in our states, in our cities, just all across the board. We need to get a handle on the waste that is going out. And that, I believe, is going to cut our deficit.
We've covered a number of topics here, many more that we couldn't get to because of time. But is there anything that we haven't touched on right now that really stands out to you, an issue that you really have been talking about and pushing that we haven't touched on yet?
Not really. I mean, the main one is life that has come up in this district, but traditional marriage, just values and integrity, speaking the truth, going back to our Constitution, turning our nation around back to its biblical foundations, which I know we've touched on all those topics a little bit. I believe if we can get ourselves turned right side up, we won't have the mental illness issues that we have. We will, you know, I've talked to people about mentoring. Everybody can do something, whether it's mentoring a mom that's by herself or a dad that's by himself. I think we all are called to do something greater than ourselves, greater than just what is in us. When I get in office, I plan to, as soon as I get there and learn a little bit about what I'm supposed to be doing, I plan to mentor several under me, because when I'm ready to move out, I want people prepared to come behind me. And I think that's for all, every job out there. If you want to move to something new, you need to have somebody that's ready to come in to fill your position. So I think that would be a huge thing that I would like to talk to young people about and older people about, and connecting them, that we are mentoring, no matter what the age is, but mentoring somebody behind us to come in that carries the same values, the same ethics, the same integrity that we have, to come in and fill the position that we are going to be leaving, because I would not make this a career. I don't believe anybody should be making this a career. There's young people and there are other people with great ideas, and we need to build upon one another. So I go in and I make the changes or do what I need to do, then it's time for the next person to come in that has maybe greater ideas than I do, and maybe I'm laying a foundation for them, and then they lay a foundation for the next person. So I think we have to get that mentality of mentoring more of the people in our nation to rise up into the positions they're called for.